Welcome back to the Unbox Broadcast. Today, Dr. Davis and I will continue our discussion on four ways that leaders can improve their emotional maturity. We're ready to dive in. We're excited that you're here. So stick around as we help you unbox the power and potential of your leadership.
I'm Dr. Robert Davis, family life educator and leadership coach. This is my co-host, R.P. Soriano. Soriano attended John Hopkins Carey Business School, worked in the financial industry, and was an international consultant before partnering with me to launch Unbox to Lead. Me? Well, I worked for over 20 years as a senior pastor and a community organizer. Then I retired and started a leader's peer support community called Unbox to Lead. Soriano and I have been friends since the early 90s, and with our varied experiences and expertise, we help leaders reach the next level in their leadership. So join us for the next few moments as we unbox the power and the potential of your relationships, your leadership, and your life.
Welcome back, one and all, wherever in the world you may be and wherever in the world Dr. Davis may be. Welcome back, my friend. Good to see you again. For a moment there, I got a little nervous as you just kind of suddenly reappeared back on screen. I thought, man, I'm not ready to tackle this. I thought, actually, what I thought you did, because of today's subject, everybody, it is our journey on emotional maturity. I honestly thought you just cut and run.
After today's broadcast, people are going to probably say, man, I wish he had just cut and run. So, yeah.
Well, anyway, I'm R.P. Soriano. You know Dr. Robert Davis, relationship expert, family life and relationship expert. He is the author of 12 Steps to Becoming an Unbox Leader. We want to remind everyone to like, share, and subscribe to the broadcast. Be sure to visit our website. Dr. Davis, people can visit the website and they can download a free version of your wonderful workbook, 12 Steps to Becoming an Unbox Leader.
They sure can. And you know what else they can do, Raphael?
What is that?
It's a secret between you and me, because I'm a cheap, sleazy salesman. This is our secret. We're going to slash prices. No, but one of the things that we're going to be doing in January is opening an opportunity for a select number, as these are the first ones who join in, to actually join our leaders peer support group as we actually go through the 12 steps. The book is set up similar to the big book in Alcoholics Anonymous. Only difference is we're not trying to get people to stop drinking alcohol. We're trying to get people to start being emotionally mature leaders, but we use the 12-step concept. We use the support group format, and we go through a different step each time that we meet, and we're going to be opening it up to the public to join our weekly support group meetings. That's going to be in January. Please keep your eye out on our website. If you download the 12-step book, you will be added to our email list, and you get all the wonderful information about the great things that are going on at Unbox to Lead, a lot of the free things that we also want to provide for you to help improve your leadership and to unbox the potential and power of your leadership.
Oh, man, that's exciting. That's going to be a great program that everyone should take advantage of. So in our last show, the first show that we talked about four ways that leaders can work on emotional maturity, we did a couple things. We described what emotional maturity is. You did a wonderful job defining that and describing that. And we also talked a little bit about the difference between emotional maturity and emotional intelligence. I don't know that we need to go too much into that, but I would like you to recap the description of emotional maturity. And we also talked about why this is an important focus of what we do at Unbox to Lead, why we focus on emotional maturity, the long-term development and transformation that is required for you to have actual powerful transformational results as a leader in your organization and within your family. So can you just sum up briefly the last show here and how we describe
it? Rather than going through all the four steps, because they're going to need to go ahead and watch the previous show to get all four of those steps, let me just give you the heart, the core description of what a mature and emotionally mature person looks like, especially an emotionally mature leader. An emotionally mature person is someone who is able to be in close, intimate, intense, or difficult relationships and still maintain their own unique individuality.
They do not have to leave relationships in order to gain their mental clarity and to be at peace. And of course, I'm not talking about abusive relationships, physical abuse or anything. I'm just talking about difficult relationships. They don't have to withdraw from difficult relationships. They don't label people calling them narcissistic and toxic and things of that nature. They have the ability. This is a term that I've heard a lot of boxers use. They can swim without getting wet. They can be in the water and never get wet. I think the first person I heard them say that to was Bernard Hopkins, swim without getting wet. I was like, I thought it was cool back then, but now that I can apply it to this, that is a description of emotional maturity. They can be in some very intense, emotionally reactive environments and relationships and still maintain their calm, their individuality, their own sense of purpose, guiding and operate from their guiding principles, while everybody else around them is going crazy.
I'll give you another example of that, another analogy that was said by the Buddha, actually. He talks about how the spoon is not impacted by the curry. So you can put the spoon in the curry and you can stir it around, but it's not impacted by the curry. It doesn't take on the flavor. It doesn't take on the intensity of the curry. The spoon remains the spoon.
Wow. So,
people were talking, that was something that was being tossed around many years before Bernard Hopkins and the boxing competition.
And just a couple of days before Bernard Hopkins jumped into the scene, huh?
Yeah, but I like that swimming without getting wet. I do like that. That's a great way of analogy.
And the reality of the matter is working toward emotional maturity often feels like working toward being able to swim without getting wet. It is a lifelong process, which is one of the, let me just pause here for a second. Because one of the things you asked is why, or at least on our notes, is why is emotional maturity so important in Unboxed? As everyone knows, I am I'm an ordained minister. I pastored for 22 years, as the intro says, before retiring and starting a nonprofit, as well as Unboxed to Lead. And one of the major concepts of Christianity is that our goal is to arrive where Christ is. So Christ has left us a path a path to the destination of completeness in Him. And that path is a lifelong journey. It's not somewhere that an individual ever says, I'm there, I'm perfect, I've gotten it. But it is a journey that they're on. And He's even demonstrated through His life how to be on that journey. And so I'm able to conceptualize what emotional maturity is. And I think it's very easy for individuals who have been exposed to Buddhism to be able to conceptualize it, which is, this is the ideal of what we're working towards. And we are prepared to spend our life in pursuit of that particular point of excellence. And so that's why emotional maturity is so important to me, because one of the things that both Christianity and Buddhism discusses, and please correct me what the terminology is in Buddhism, but that the disciples, they are guides. In each generation, there are disciples of Jesus Christ, as there are disciples of the Buddha in every generation, that actually will assist you on that journey. And Unboxed to Lead is one of those tools to assist you on the journey towards emotional maturity and leadership growth.
Yeah, and I'm glad you bring this up and you introduced it this way, because I think we both lean into our faith and our belief systems. And that informs a lot of what we do. We're certainly not interested in making people Christians or Buddhists. That is not the point. But it does bring us, it does allow us to come from a very unique perspective. And not only those two perspectives, but also the relationship systems, family systems, all of these other things that we draw from to create this really unique mix of the way that we help develop leadership and emotional maturity to our clients. And we always encourage everyone to be their full authentic self. That is a big part of who we are and what we promote. And that is why it's important in the way that we do this. We are who we are. We bring that to the experience, and we expect that from the leaders that we work with. Bring who you are, regardless of whether you have a faith tradition or you do not. It's immaterial. It's your values. It's what makes you you, and you can become an emotionally mature person regardless of those backgrounds. We're talking about building values and a skill set, and we use these tools, and some of them will work for you. Some of them may not, but they're available there.
Exactly.
So I'm glad you brought that up in that way. So, but let's move into today's show, and let's discuss what started you, Dr. Robert Davis, down this path to emotional maturity. What was the thing, the catalyst, or you know, the cumulative experience that made you realize? Because a lot of times it's hard to self-diagnose. It's hard to know what the actual problem is that we're having. A lot of us walk around saying something's not right. I don't really understand what it is, but they can't put words to it or describe it. What happened with what got you down the path to emotional maturity? And we'll have this conversation both ways.
And I'll say this, I want to make sure that everyone listening knows that I do not consider myself as one who has arrived, as one who has apprehended. I am in the process of attempting to become a more authentic, unboxed leader. That is the journey. And that is one of the reasons why we mm-hmm. offer a leader's peer support community. Mm-hmm. Because we recognize that it is so important for us to take this journey together with other high-level leaders who are moving toward the same destination. What started me on this journey was I came from a messed up, dysfunctional family. I don't even know where to start. And the more that I talk to people, the less I'm embarrassed to talk about my family, because everybody I talk to has so many challenges within their families of origin. And so I have no memory of my mother and father being married. They married 2 years ago, but growing up, I have no memory of them being married. I do remember them getting a divorce because they divorced when I was 5 years old, but I don't remember when they actually got married. And so you can imagine being raised by a single mom, my father did not have the ability to manage a relationship with my mother, manage a relationship with his parents, manage a relationship with us all simultaneously. So he chose to distance himself from my brother and I and from my mother and to live in a space where he could live. That is not making an excuse for him. That is just a reality. I often use the example of someone having money. You know, he only had enough money to purchase these few things. And unfortunately, my brother and I ended up back on the shelf, as well as his marriage ended up back on the shelf. He just couldn't afford to purchase all of them. So I grew up for the majority of my life, the overwhelming majority of my life, I grew up thinking to myself how screwed up my father is, how screwed up my mother is with some of the challenges that she had difficulties navigating as a single mom and navigating life in general. I was upset and thought that my community was screwed up. Everybody was screwed up. And I even acknowledged, you know, especially at least verbally, I would acknowledge, I'm even screwed up kind of thing. Then I started pastoring. And I started to observe that people who were not in my family were behaving with the same relationship behaviors or the relationship strategies that I'm watching being observed in my family. I'm watching that exact same type of behaviors played on the church. I had no way to describe what I was observing because I didn't have a theory or a model that I was working from, but I was observing it. So it when you see the same thing replicating in other environments, it shouldn't be because these people are not blood related. So why are they managing relationships in similar ways that my family's related managing it? Number two, I'm now dealing with a collection of families. So now you're dealing with people from all different types of families and backgrounds. Then I shouldn't be seeing the same thing because everyone should be acting a little bit different There should be worlds of difference between how my family functioned, how this church family is functioning, and how the individual families in the church are functioning. There should be something. And I'm noticing that, man, there are just some easily predictable patterns that are going on. And I didn't have a way of describing it. But one of the things it did was it helped me to realize that perhaps it's more than just my family. So I began trying to figure out where was that thing. So, of course, I did pastoral counseling when I was pursuing my master's of divinity. I then pursued a doctor of ministry with a concentration in marriage and family, all of these things. And, you know, I was really trying my best to get a grasp on this thing. And I came across a book. It was called Forgiving Our Parents, Forgiving Ourselves. I began reading this book and it talked about family systems, just kind of like almost in passing. And I'm the type of person that if I hear that someone sang a song, I want to know who wrote the song and who was the first person to sing the song. And so I began to explore family systems. Who's the first person to sing it? So that led me to someone named Edwin Friedman. And then Edwin Friedman said, I didn't write the song. I'm just singing a couple of the choruses. You know, I'm just doing a cover for the song. The original author and singer of the song is a man named Dr. Murray Bowen. And he's the one that wrote this song called Family Systems Theory. And so then I began to look into who Murray Bowen was, what this theory was, which got me to become involved in the Bowen's Center for the Study of Families at Georgetown in Washington, D.C. And so that's kind of like my journey. And it was in that process that I really began to understand. Like, it's like I then got the words to describe what I had been observing and then to get some tools to manage myself better in the reality that I had been living. So I'll stop there because I know that you want to share a portion of your kind of your journey, but I'll stop there and we'll talk more about different things as we move forward.
No, I really think I really like the way you laid that out because it really makes sense. And I think it's good for leaders to hear how this began with your family experience, then seeing these similarities in other families and thinking to yourself, how can this be when we're not related? And then opening up and realizing that this is a whole systemic kind of thing. This is that families are systems. And there are things that are predictable. There are things that are common, and we can work with that. And I mean, hearing your journey laid out like that is very clear and fascinating. I think that we should probably briefly touch on my journey in our next show, and then move into more of the meat of those specific four areas that we've been promising our listeners that we would get to, the four areas that they could improve their leadership enrichment. So I think this has been a very enlightening, eye-opening experience. And I think anyone out there listening to this could probably resonate and begin to really ultimately make the connection, because you describe something, and I'll say this and wrap this up, but you went from describing your family situation to then being in a professional setting. You know, the uniqueness about being a pastor is that you are technically running a business, but you deal with family issues that most business owners or business leaders don't necessarily get to see. So you have the one side of running an organization, but at the other side, you are actually expected to be involved in the personal lives and the family lives of the people you are leading. And so you got this front row seat, which again leads to your unique perspective, because any leader of an organization doesn't have that connection with their employees per se. But you're there, you're in the mix when someone dies, when someone gets sick, when someone gets married, when someone decides they're going to become a member of your organization. You are there when they're born, you're there pretty much through all of it. So you see these dynamics. And the point that I'm trying to make here is that all of this richness is a part of your organization as a leader. All of the things that you don't see that are operating in the background are the things that you, Dr. Davis, got to see when the curtain actually lifted up. Yeah. And so this is helpful for leaders as they grow on in their emotional maturity, but they understand what's going on with the team that they're leading. That running in the background is all of this very complex, there's many moving parts that are happening that are beyond just the person you've hired.
Yes.
And that's what we're working toward.
And just beyond just the dynamics of what we are seeing within the workplace. And what ends up happening is, and one last thing about my journey is that I ran out of people to blame for who I was and my level of maturity or my level of immaturity. I ran out of people to blame because I could blame my mother or my father or whoever for the challenges inside of my biological family relationship system. But when you take me outside of my biological family relationship system, you put me in with people that I'm not biologically related to, why are we seeing the exact same patterns? Mm-hmm. Why are we seeing the same relationship tendencies? Why are the same things that are annoying me? Because if the issue is your mom, then why is it when that same behavior is demonstrated in someone else that you're in a relationship system with, it evokes the same reactivity? Maybe not the level of intensity, because there's a unique bond with the people that we share a DNA with, as well as the people that we were raised with and raised by, but we're still seeing that emotional reactivity. Why is that? I can't blame someone I just met, 2 weeks ago, a month ago.
Yeah.
I can blame mom because mom, 0 to 18, it was all mom. So she's the worst mother in the world. She's everything. I can blame her. I can't. At some point you run out of people to blame and then you realize, hold on, maybe blaming folk is not the answer. And maybe right now I need to just stop talking so that we can get more into the heart of it.
All right. Well, that will conclude our show today. I think that was very rich. You know, we talk about these things and it just, you want to keep talking about it because it's self-enriching. You know, yes. I feel good about what I'm hearing. I'm learning as we're talking and you just want to keep on and on and on about it. But the people have stuff they have to do during the day. They don't have time to sit here and listen to us yap on, even though we enjoy each other's verboseness, but other people can't. So anyway, we'll leave it there. We want to thank you for being a part of our broadcast today. On behalf of Dr. Robert Davis, I'm RP Soriano. We'd like to thank our entire team for the work that they do in putting this broadcast together. Bobby Davis Jr., who is our executive producer, John Sedano, who handles marketing and outreach, and Damon Mace, who handles all of our audio, video, and other stuff like that. So I want to thank you once again for joining us. Please come back to the next episode where we will continue discussing our journey on emotional maturity, and then we will take a deep dive into the four areas, the four ways that you can work on your emotional maturity. Thank you once again for joining us. We look forward to seeing you the next broadcast where we help you unbox the power and the potential of your leadership. Be well.
Unbox provides a full-service leaders peer support community that helps high-level leaders become more authentic leaders who build healthy workplace cultures and reach their personal life goals. To learn more and discover how we can take your leadership and your life to the next level, please visit our website at unboxtolead.com. That's unboxed, the number 2, lead.com. Again, that's unboxed, the number 2, to lead.com.